Taylor from San Diego.
Thank you. Oh, I don't need that. Thanks. Taylor, I'm an alcoholic. Wow, I just got really nervous. My sobriety date is September 12th, 2015. I almost said 1995, that's the year I was born. September 12th, 2015, I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. It's probably the greatest honor of my life to sponsor other women. I've worked the 12 steps. I have an understanding of the traditions, and I'm so grateful for this program for giving me a life worth living. 10 minutes is tough, man. You know, I'm a talker, so I'm going to do my best here. I had a drinking dream last night, and it's been a couple years since I had one of those, and all I'm going to say about that is that in that dream, right before I woke up, I experienced what it's like to be powerless for a second, you know, like to just have that phenomenon of craving kick back in. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, in this dream. And I woke up with such gratitude that that's not my every waking moment anymore. And that's so true, man. I'm so grateful for that, you know. So I come from alcoholic parents. I come from a really alcoholic family. And I was supposed to be like a solution, and that didn't work out too well because they didn't change. So I grew up really in a really chaotic upbringing, and that doesn't make me an alcoholic at all, but it gave me a really good excuse to drink. I started drinking really young. I was like 11 when I started. I was like 13 before I was intoxicated off of something every day. And I was a really high achiever, so to my grandparents who were raising me, as long as I was looking good on the outside, getting good grades, I could kind of, you know, just mess around, do whatever I wanted, until I started hotboxing their house, and they were like, you should probably move out. So I moved in with my dad, and he had, like, a bunch of guilt, because he wasn't much of a parent, so he let me do whatever I want, and I liked that. And, you know, it continued, and I partied, and it was always a party, but I always took it too far, and I did that from the very beginning. You know, my first drink, I convinced my other 11-year-old friends to drink beer on New Year's Eve, and they were like, that's weird, we should watch TV and go to bed at 10, you know, and I was like, let's drink beer, and so they, like, did, and they had a sip or two, and then got, like, upset, and called their parents and went home, and I proceeded to just get hammered, you know, alone, at 11 years old. So, like, that's what it looks like for me. Like, the minute that hits me, like, I don't stop until an outside force stops me, whether it be passing out, the authorities, or a hospitalization of some sort, you know? So I partied a lot. I saw it as fun. I really, at that time, understood it as something that I was choosing. I had no concept of, you know, the fact that I had lost my power of choice, even though I look back and I understand that I lost that really young, because I was constantly obsessing over it. If I wasn't drinking, it's hard to drink and, you know, access drugs all the time at 15 years old. So when I wasn't, I was just thinking about it, you know. And when I was 16, my mom, who was one of us, had been sober for about a year, but hadn't had a program. She was just dry. And I always share this whenever I get the opportunity, because it's so important for me to remember. She had a year of dry time, you know, so a year of no drink, no drug, but no solution, and she committed suicide. She killed herself in front of me, and that's what dry looks like to me. That's what no spiritual solution looks like to me, whether I'm drunk or not, you know, because I have, like, a God-sized hole. And that needs to be filled. And if it doesn't get filled, I'm not going to sustain, you know. And so that's what I started doing from a young age. And when my mom, you know, took her life, everything kind of switched. I remember viewing alcohol as, like, an absolute necessity. You know, the book tells me it ceased to be a luxury, you know. And, like, that was it for me. It stopped being a party, and it started becoming, I would do anything and step on anyone and go through anyone to get what I needed, because I could not be sober in my skin. And, you know, I proceeded to achieve highly because, like, that was my way of people not being on my back, you know, but even that falls through eventually, you know, this stuff really takes over. And I became, like a prisoner to my disease, you know. By the time I was 17, I met a guy who was in recovery, AKA on, like, you know, maintenance drugs. And I don't know if any of you guys know what those are, but they're not good, in my opinion. And we quickly went down a really dark road together, you know, using IV drugs and all that comes with that, you know, that insane lifestyle. And I became homeless, and I stayed that way, you know, and I was honestly fine with it as long as I could get what I needed, because my whole life revolved around using, drinking, getting out of myself, you know, that powerful obsession is like unreal, you know, chase it to the gates of insanity or death. I did. And I got sober when I was 19. I had no intention of getting sober. It was like a nudge from court, a nudge from, you know, my bank account, like just a nudge from the universe. It was just like, it happened, you know, and I look back and I'm just like, holy crap, God, you know, because there was like so much God in it, like the whole situation. But I went to treatment and I was like so not down for what they were telling me. But I remember H&I coming in and these people telling me that they used to live like I did and now they don't, and they have their, you know, they kind of have their stuff together. And I was like, that happens, you know, I thought we all just kind of like died off, you know, so that was like amazing to me, you know, and I was really fortunate to end up in just like a series of situations where my sobriety was able to flourish, and I did a lot of that work too, you know, and so I got really good sponsorship when I got out of treatment. I picked a woman who had what I wanted, and by that I mean she had a Range Rover. I got lucky because she also had many years of sobriety and a really big God that she was able to share with me until I found my own. And she taught me so much, you know. She really knew how to, like, break my ego, but not break it so hard that I would be like, fuck you, lady, I'm out, you know. So it was a really beautiful experience, and it was a really hard experience, you know, that shattering of everything that I'd ever known. And a big one for me was like, wow, I'm not a victim of my whole entire life. You know, like I played a role in this stuff. Thank you. So I worked the steps, and then beginning to sponsor girls was like when it really, the switch flipped for me, like full force, you know, because like I just see God in these girls so hardcore when they come in and like there's no way that they're staying sober, and like all of a sudden they're picking up time and like they're loving the book and they're identifying and they want to help new girls, and it's like, okay, you know, like there's no way I made that happen. So, you know, I try and get out of the way and just be a vessel whenever I can. And I love this program. I love what it's done for me. And I try and, you know, just be a channel for that to happen for others. You know, I think about the people that had their hand out for me and, you know, saw my dreaded, really angry 19-year-old butt walk in and still, like, talked to me. You know, and I'm so eternally grateful, and I, you know, I do that for anyone and everyone that I can. And life is beautiful, you know, it's not perfect, but it's amazing. I've gotten to see it and do a lot of things that I never would have gotten to do had I not gotten sober. I think I would be dead, I'm fairly sure, if not in a really long-term prison sentence. So, you know, when I got sober, I was concerned. There's some young people in here that I see, especially some young new people. And if you're not young, that's fine. It's still the same concern of what am I going to do sober? It's not going to be fun. And I have way more fun sober. Like, you know, I've gotten to experience absolutely everything in this world except drinking and drugs for the past 3.5 years. You know, the whole world has opened up to me, whereas it's such a small, closed-minded way of living when you're drinking. So I love this program. You know, I know when I put it first, everything else falls into place beautifully. I got a higher power here that's like really amazing and does beautiful things. And it's one that I can do business with because I'm definitely not a religion girl or a God girl, but I'm still here. So if that's how you feel, it's totally fine. Welcome home. It's the best place to be, in my opinion. Thanks.